There are few living that can speak of besting Grelb the Gargantuan, and those few are lying, so a couple of humans in leather skirts could hardly be much of a match. After the mighty goblin assures his friends that he will cover their escape, he turns to face the Claudian guard at the edge of the fog cloud that is somehow now there. The guard is trapped in vines that the little weasel girl summoned. Now, some fighting folk would consider attacking someone who was restrained like that as dishonorable. But these folks are not pit fighters. A pit fighter must take advantage of their foe and put them to the ground. Granted, he is not in a pit, but in a split second, this fool could come unstuck, so the code of the pit could not be denied. Grelb brings up his maul, which he has named Molly because what else would you call it, and cracks the Claudian across the face. Blood and teeth rain down from the mouth of the guard, and he tumbles unconscious into the vines and brambles that appear to eat him whole. Grelb wonders to himself if any of these plants are carnivorous. He hopes they are. Grelb hears the Claudians on the other side of the cloud. He knows that there are more of them and that they will be looking for his friends. Maybe the fog and vines will be enough to hold them off. If he ran now, he could probably catch up to them, but Grelb the Gargantuan never ran from a fight, and he was not about to today. He backs up a few steps and proceeds to take a running jump through the cloud and over the vines. His magic boots will keep him from danger, after all. As Grelb comes flying out of the clouds, his only thought is that he wishes he could see himself. It must be a glorious sight to behold. As he comes crashing down, he sees the other guard standing in front of the open door, looking dumbfounded. It appears that the boss lady went down the stairs to the dungeon, and all hell is going to break loose. The guard slashes wildly at Grelb but makes no contact. Not missing a step, the goblin brings up Molly in a crushing uppercut that takes the guard off his feet. Claudian falls to the ground and does not get up. His next move is to jam the door closed and catch up to his companions while these silly fools fall all over themselves trying to escape. It'll be perfect, he thinks to himself. He looks forward to drinking with his new friends and recounting their harrowing tale at the tavern. As he turns to grab the door, he is surprised by the butt of a spear smashing into his temple. And as everything goes black and he loses consciousness, his last thought is that he hopes no one finds out about this. He has a reputation, after all. Welcome, welcome! We are the Architects of Entropy, and this is episode 16.
Week 16.
And things are a little bit hairy right now for our heroes, wouldn't you say?
Heroes?
Oh. Yeah.
Well, if you're not our heroes, I don't know who is.
All right.
Heroes, yes, it's by default.
We are definitely getting towards the conclusion of the first arc of this story. Or who knows, as much as we can do that in this thing that we're kind of making up as we go along. In our last episode, we had the thrilling jailbreak where you successfully broke Loretta Bumblecrouch out of her cell in the dungeon of the Forge Temple and were able to fool the Claudian guards that were holding her, release her from the cell, and eventually, after a bit of a scuffle and a little bit of confusion, most of you were able to get away on some level with Loretta. Grelb stayed behind to duke it out with the remaining guards. You got an update from Grenna when you ran into her office that the Claudians have Grelb in their custody, and she says she will do what she can to deal with that situation, but you need to get out of here. So Kiernan in the disguise of a random delivery guy, Zika in the form of a mouse in Kiernan's pocket, and Loretta in a bag. Who's holding the bag? Is that Kiernan?
I think I had it, yeah.
And Brazer is doing his best to sneak surreptitiously out of the building. So as you cross the threshold and go out into the courtyard area in the front of the temple, you are met by a few dozen halflings carrying pitchforks and rakes and shovels and a couple of them actual weapons, most of them farming implements, and they appear to be preparing to storm the place. And that's where we pick up with things now. So it is a little bit of a mess in front of the temple. You see all manner of halflings, all shapes, sizes, and ages, and everything. They are definitely getting ready to storm the place. And what do you do?
I want to look for someone who might be the leader.
Okay. Anybody else doing anything right now? Zika, you're in a pocket. I know that.
Yeah, I'm eating crumbs in a pocket.
Okay. Just like the initial gut reaction of what you want to do.
I'm going to take a quick look around to see who's observing from the forge.
Okay, alrighty. So, Kiernan, you do see a couple of halflings at the head of this group, and it looks like they might even be getting ready to step forward and get in your face. There's a really, really little guy dressed in dark clothing, and then there's a middle-aged, chubby halfling, red tousled hair. He's carrying a spear. It really looks like an old Claudian spear, so this might be a remnant of the occupation, similar to the spear Loretta had. And they are stepping forward. And Razor, there were a couple of dwarves outside tending to shrubbery and everything outside, basically just doing menial labor, and they are no longer here. That you see some people coming in and out of the other temples and some people on the street as it is still during the day, but you don't see any temple dwarves at the moment. So these two halflings step forward as you're coming out, and the chubby one speaks first.
We are the Bitter Harvest, and we are here to release our leader from bondage. You have Loretta Bumblecrouch, and we are here to take her back. And the crowd starts, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they start to move forward and surround you.
I will try to put my arm out in front of the one who is talking to stop him to get in his way. And I'll just bend down a little bit to sort of get closer to his face, because I'm sure it's probably pretty loud here.
Yeah, it is loud. So, well, as you do that, it doesn't seem to stop him from trying to move past you. The other one's like, get out of my way! Get out of my way! We're going in! We're coming in!
You're going to get yourselves killed. This is not the way.
It doesn't matter anymore. Words haven't worked. We've appealed to everyone we possibly can, and no one is doing anything to help us. Nobody cares!
Actually, you're wrong. Someone is helping you. If you follow me, I can prove it.
Hey, I'd like to cast Calm Emotions.
I was hoping someone had that.
Okay, how does that work?
You attempt to press strong emotions in a group of people, each humanoid in a 20-foot radius sphere centered on a point you choose. How about these two guys talking? Within range must make a charisma saving throw. Creature can choose to fail the saving throw if it wishes. If it fails its saving throw, choose one of the following two effects. You can suppress any effect causing the target to be charmed or frightened. Alternatively, you can make a target indifferent about creatures of your choice that it is hostile towards. The difference ends if the target is attacked or harmed by a spell, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. I am going to see how these, at least these main guys do. What is the difficulty?
16.
Okay. So, yeah, it doesn't seem to affect the bigger one as he's now just kind of half-heartedly wrestling with Kiernan to get past him. But the little one and maybe about half of the surrounding ones around him seem to be like, hold on. Wait. Let's just talk about this for a minute. And so what that does is that gives you an opportunity to see if you can further cow these halflings. But there's so many of them that eventually this whole thing could fall apart very quickly. So, Kiernan, what I'd like you to do is give me a persuasion.
Okay.
Open the bag.
16.
So the leader of the group looks up to you and, look, if you have something to say to keep us out of here, you better make a good argument or else we're coming in there. We don't matter what you say. We can take both of you.
We have your leader, Loretta. That enough?
Prove it. And at that point, the bag on your back starts to kick.
I'll go ahead and set it on the ground.
Okay.
And sort of step behind it so I can sort of block it from if there's any guards that are coming.
All right. So the crowd parts back a little as you drop Loretta out of the bag and she jumps to the ground. She lands on her feet. All right. Everybody just calm down. Calm down! And the two lead halflings look stunned. And they're just like, Loretta, what's going on? Are you all right?
What did they do to you? You look awful. Alden, Higgins, did you bring this group here?
Oh, yes, we did,
little one.
We've been doing all sorts of things to find out where you were, and when we finally found out you were here, we had to take action.
Listen, everybody needs to just stop right now, okay? I'm out. These people helped me. And then she kind of looks over to Razor, and they're going to help us some more. So, Priest, what are you going to do?
Why don't we get out of here for now, and we can discuss how to handle this. We're right now in the shadow of the Dwarven Forge, where they train in military matters. Is not the place to be hanging around discussing this.
Look, I know you all are very angry, but the Priest is right. We need to get out of here. We need to figure out a plan and deal with this. But before we do anything, I want to know, why are the Claudians being protected by the Forge?
Well, they're being protected by the Forge because there's a personal past relationship between Umar Forgecloak and the Legate. Can we leave now so we can discuss this in further detail somewhere else?
Right, okay, come on, let's move. And the big band of halflings starts half-heartedly. A lot of them look really, really excited to come in here and very stupidly probably die, but the mood of the crowd is starting to shift and they start moving off. It's a big group of little people. It's literally like herding cats, except the cats have farming implements. So some of them start shifting and breaking off, and some of them start hitting the street. A bunch of them disperse a little bit. The rest of them are just like, it's like, why should we listen to him? So if the Claudians are here, we should strike. But over the next 30 seconds or so, Loretta seems to be able to direct them out, at least, you know, get them in a direction moving into the street and out of here. And as things seem to be shifting and the window for you to leave starts to become apparent, you hear a yell coming from within.
Stop where you are! Everyone stop right now!
And that is very familiar voice of Umir Forgecloak. And as you're getting ready to leave, you see Umir and about six of his private guard all kitted out in their armor and ceremonial weapons. Well, real weapons. I mean, there are no ceremonial. All weapons of the dwarves, I'm assuming, are ceremonial and practical.
Absolutely. Some are prettier than others, that's all.
Some were made more recently than others.
Yes. Yeah. Umirs are so pretty. And you see, following behind Umir and the guards, you see Grenna popping her head up, just kind of looking around. And they're heading for you. The halflings at that point, most of them start to just break into a run as they all of a sudden see what they could be facing and decide that perhaps now we should probably go. The two leaders of the group attempt to grab Loretta and drag her out of there. And they seem to be having a little bit of a difficulty doing that. So what's the plan here, guys?
I say we make a run for it.
You know that it's possible that you could run for it. It would probably look really bad, Razor, if you made a run
Razor's
for it.
Razor's not going to run for it.
I know.
Razor won't run for it. Get
Loretta,
her out of here.
Loretta seems to be resisting people taking her away.
Right.
Especially as she sees Umir coming. And she kind of shakes the two off. She goes, I'm not going anywhere. I'm getting answers out of him. I haven't seen him since I got here.
Easier to get answers out of a rock. Get her out of here. And I'll start heading towards Umir.
Okay. Yeah, Umir now is coming out of the inner courtyard and approaching the entrance. Flaskmaster, why did I think you might have something to do with this?
Oh, what? With dispersing a mob that might have possibly raided against the Dwarven Forge? Yes, that does seem like something I might do.
Oh, that. That's nothing. That's an annoyance. I could have dealt with that myself.
Yes, you could have. But many people would have died. This way people survived.
You got so uppity, haven't you? You just got here on your goddamn high horse and have been lording down on all of us. You do not have the right, you do not have the authority to be talking to me like I am some kind of servant of yours. And Grenna just kind of runs us like, hold on, look, hey. And she literally puts herself between you. Whatever you guys have between you, all right? It's been a huge stress on me, okay?
Excuse me? And she spins around. She puts her finger up at Umir. She goes, you're going to let me talk. And she, in that moment, appears to be uttering a command. You recognize, those of you who are magically inclined, that some kind of spell is being cast. Well, look at that. Guess who rolled a natural one on their savings throw? And Umir stops, just freezes. And the guards pull up their weapons and look back and forth between all three of you. Immediately after the spell goes off, she looks back over at you, Razor, like, do I have to do the same to you? Am I going to have to shut you
no,
up?
No, I actually bow my head kind of shamed.
Okay, there's a lot going on here, and we need to work this out. Those halflings are here because she was downstairs in the dungeons being guarded by the Claudians. And I'm pretty sure you, and she looks at Umir, had no idea that was going on. So I asked him, and she points at Razor, to go down there and get her out before they killed her. And the reason I didn't come to you, she posted Umir, is because I feel your judgment in this is a little bit cloudy, as you seem to let the Claudians walk around here and disrespect the temple by doing whatever they want and treating you, the master of the forge, like some kind of servant. And then she turns over to Razor. It's like, that sound about right?
You neglected to mention the torture that she barely survived. But other than that, yeah, that'd be about right.
Yeah. And he points over to her. She looks about 12 shades better than she did an hour ago. Oh yeah, they tortured me, all right. And Umir kind of pulls stuff together and just, at first looks incredibly angry and then just kind of, Bright Flame, we'll talk about your actions later. But looks down at Loretta. Is this true? Have you been held here? Yes. Been held here this whole time. And tortured and broken down. And she was attempting to break my will and become one of them. What do you mean, become one of them? She was trying to teach me their history and their philosophy. And because I hadn't gotten any real sleep or food in several days, make me more pliant to their wishes. I see. I have learned some things, Forge Master. You should probably know. And at this point, the guards pull back, and the rest of the halflings of that mob are pretty much gone, except for the two leaders, Higgins and Alden, apparently. Is this right, Flaskmaster?
Yes, Your Eminence.
I see.
There's more that you need to know. Perhaps not in the streets.
Yes. Let's retire to the inner sanctum here, and looks over at the two halflings. You have my word that Miss Bumblecrouch will be returned. She will be healed properly and returned to you. If you wish to wait outside, you may, but I think it's best we keep this discussion as small as possible so we can figure this out. And Loretta gives them the nod and they hang back at the door. They don't leave, they just hang at the edge of the door, and a couple of the guards stand out there. So there's a little bit of posturing going on, but seems to be relatively contained. Well, all right. So Ymir leads you all into the inner courtyard where the drills were taking place, the center of the forge. So, what is it that I don't know, Brother Ordrum?
Well, if you are aware of it, my apologies, but it appears from what evidence we have gathered that the Claudians fully intend to make this city part of their empire.
And at that point, Loretta goes, he's right. They have a huge mass of soldiers outside of town, and she's ready to command them to descend on the city and essentially take it over. For once, you kind of see Umir not exactly sure what to say. Those troops that are outside of the city are here as a... That's not...
They're not an honor guard. They're an invasion.
The Claudians were simply lending us their strength so we could get control of the city.
and restore order and put down the Shadow Consortium once and for all, and then become part of our city. You know, it was a show of... And he's just like, strength and solidarity. And at this point, it's kind of almost like you see scales falling from his eyes, and... Oh, God. Oh, no. And as Ubir starts fumbling for words from the other side of the courtyard, coming from the inner area, you see Sabina with two of her guards. You recognize Voltis and Justinius. And Voltis also has a dwarf marching in front of him. And Kiernan, you recognize this as the dwarf that you disguised yourself as?
Oh, okay.
Forge Cloak! What is the meaning of this? We have been attacked by one of your acolytes and a goblin. And my personal guard is near death. And the dwarf, she's like, I don't know anything about this. I was in a drill. I was late, and I'm sorry about being late, but I was, it was just, hold, wait, everyone just stop. And just turns to Sabina, and says, what the hell are you talking about? This, and then at that point, she looks and she sees Loretta standing there, and she almost says something, and then she stops. As I was leaving the cells that my guards have been occupying, I saw, just for a second, out of the corner of my eye, what appeared to be someone that looked just like me, ducking into one of your acolyte cells. And when I approached, I was assaulted by this dwarf, and there was magics being done, likely by this one. And once again, he's just like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then his accomplice, this ridiculous goblin, flew into a rage and attacked most of my guards, nearly killing one and knocking the other one unconscious until we were able to grab him and take custody of him. Hold on. Right. You told me that someone was attacked by a goblin and we needed to... Look, I'm confused. Somebody here explain to me what's going on.
So, if you will indulge me for a moment, Your Eminence, I believe that I can put to rest any confusion surrounding what appears to be an innocent acolyte.
Festus! My name is Festus!
Festus, would you submit to a zone of truth for questioning about what happened down there? So that you can clear your good name in this matter?
Zone of truth. That's a good idea. And then before you get ready to cast the zone of truth, Umir casts the zone of truth.
Okay.
So what I'm going to need everyone to do...
Can I step back?
Not that fast. We get out the 20-foot range.
Okay.
This is all kind of happening very quickly here. So I'm going to need everyone to give me, I believe it's a wisdom saving throw.
Told you guys had to come with me. You came with me.
I didn't want to.
Oh!
I didn't want to. I just ended up here.
Okay. <All right. laughs> Kiernan, actually, how about this? Why don't you give me a dexterity roll?
Okay.
To see if you can get out of this radius as it's being cast.
Ah, that's a 10, probably.
10? Okay. You feel like you probably did, but then you realize you're right at the edge of it.
Got it.
Okay, so everyone give me a charisma save.
Oh, that's even worse. I got a 2 then.
Okay.
I'm a 9.
I got an 8. I can squeak no lies.
Okay. Now remember, this doesn't make you say anything. It just, if you speak, you have to tell the truth. So, you know, you had to be a little clever about it. Turns to Festus. Festus, did you attack this person? I was on my way to the drill, and by the time I got there, everything went weird, and you were gone, and I don't know. All right. And goes over to Razor. Flaskmaster, did you attack this lady?
I did not.
And he looks over to Kiernan. Who is this person? Who is this person? And he's pointing at you.
Sir, I am no one important.
Did you attack this lady? And right before you speak, Brenna goes, Okay, hold on a minute. I hired him to help. I don't think you know him. And if he did attack the Legate, it was at my direction so we could help release this halfling. And then he turns over to Sabina. Did you have this halfling in your custody? She attacked my people in public, in front of everyone in the city. It is not something that we take lightly, nor is it something we can excuse.
She attacked you with rotting vegetables in front of a few dozen people in the city. You took her back here in humiliation, slung over the back end of your horse. That should have been enough.
Yes, I brought her back here at your advice.
Yes, I did not say keep her imprisoned indefinitely and torture her and brainwash her into becoming one of your soldiers.
Well, you see, that is what separates people like you from people like me.
Ethics? Morals?
Honor and reputation. Your enemy sees you as anything less than in utter control of your surroundings, then you are nothing. That is how.
You are nothing because you have no honor, no ethics, no morality. You are but a worm on the ground.
And ooh. At this point...
I would like to try and sneak out of Kiernan's pocket with stealth.
Okay. I think there's some good distraction here, considering now everyone is looking at Razor and Sabina about ready to go at it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And not the way Umar would.
Being a mouse, I have like maybe advantage or something being really small.
Let's see. The only reason I'm not going to give you advantage, Kevin, is because there's a whole shitload of people here.
All right.
If not, I would give you advantage, but it's tough.
That is a 16.
Okay. So yeah, you jump out of Kiernan's pocket. What's your plan?
I want to get a little bit of ways away, maybe like around a corner. I don't know what the...
So, you are right now in the middle of a courtyard. Well, Rick, what does the courtyard look like?
Well, there probably is, there's probably drilling dummies, archery targets and for the crossbows and stuff. It's largely open, but I'm sure there's lots of pillars and such like that are supporting balconies that are overlooking it so that they can watch the people that are drilling. So, there's probably areas to hide a little bit.
So I would like to go to start making my way toward some sort of a training dummy or a column or something like that that is on the way toward the exit of the courtyard.
Okay.
And then, however long that takes, a round or two, once I get there, I will wild shape back into myself.
Okay.
And so, play for a couple rounds and then I have something I want to do.
Okay. All right. So while that's going on, in reaction to your, like a worm at her feet, Sabina just kind of, you know what? Let's go ahead and roll initiative because things are starting to get initiative-y. So
yeah,
let's get some initiative here. Razor.
17.
All right. Kiernan.
15.
Zika.
11.
The first thing that happens is Voltus and Justinius put themselves in front of the Legate. They're basically going full defense and just kind of giving you the like, don't do this kind of look about them. And then Razor, it is your go.
Well, I'm going to hold.
Okay. You want to ready an action?
I will have my hand on my mace ready to go if it comes to it.
All right. Kiernan.
I will take a few steps back and take out my bow and also just hold, try to look somewhat intimidating.
So Grenna looks over to you, Razor. You can't do this. We have to stop this. Just please, don't. And she basically takes her actions, pleading with you to not take this course of action. Zika, you are jumping out of pocket. And then Sabina is going to push past her guards and is going to attempt to slap you in the face.
All right, well, I'll try to avoid that to the best of my ability. I won't hit her with my mace to avoid it, but...
Yeah.
It's just a slap. I don't care.
Right. She just basically just walks up to you and, Okay. Yeah, she goes to slap you, just kind of pull out of the way. Anybody with held actions doing anything?
No, I'll let it occur.
Okay. And after she slaps you, she points at Voltus and says, "Get our prisoner back." And at this point, Voltus is going to attempt to move forward through everyone, which is going to be very, very hard, and grab at Loretta. He makes an attempt to grab her, and he gets his hand on her. She's able to actually push through. He rolled very well and grab his hand on her. And then Justinius spins around and stabs Voltus.
Interesting.
Leave her alone! And then there's some guard-on-guard action going on here as all hell starts to break loose. Oh, yeah. Justinius has this just look in his eyes. He's just had it, and he just stabs Voltus in the side, and he is hurt real bad. And then Razor, you're next.
How do I feel that battle's going to go? He's hurt pretty bad, right?
Right now, Justinius has the advantage, but, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Sabina might step in as well, because he is now
right.
directly disobeying orders.
Well, as a bonus action, the first thing I'm going to do is I will cast Divine Favor. Okay. So the head of my mace will start to glow like the coals of a furnace. I'll step around the two of them to let them fight and kind of step in the way of Sabina. Well, let your lackeys fight it out. This could be interesting.
Okay. Alrighty, you do that. And then it is Kiernan.
Is Voltus still holding on to Loretta?
Yeah, he's still got his hands on her, but it doesn't look like he's going to be able to hold on to her if he's continually getting stabbed.
I want to try to get his grip off of her and sort of get in between the two of them.
You just want to interject yourself between them and kind of break the grip?
Yeah.
Give me a strength athletics. I will give you advantage and give him disadvantage because of the situation, because, you know, he's currently being stabbed.
I rolled pretty terribly. That's a 9.
Okay. With advantage?
Yeah.
Okay. Alrighty. He somehow is able to hold on to Loretta despite the fact that he's being stabbed. It still doesn't look like he's probably gonna be able to hold on to her for long. And then Rena is going to... This is what happens when you declare mostly just healing stuff. Oh, you know what she does? So Grenna steps back and casts a spell, and a spectral warhammer appears floating in the air right next to Voltus. And it swings at him and definitely hits. So Voltus holds on, and then Grenna steps back. This glowing divine warhammer appears in the air next to Voltus. He kind of cocks his head up, and it slams him, just cuffs him. It kind of hits him to the side and just knocks him on his ass down to the ground. He is unconscious as she hit him for non-lethal damage. And she just goes, enough of this! Then we go to Zika. Okay, now you can do what you wanted to do.
Okay, so hidden behind a training dummy or a column or something like that, I'm just going to drop what has apparently become my new favorite spell, Fog Cloud, over this whole scene.
Okay. Alrighty. So,
and then I will scream, run!
Okay, so that happens. And Sabina is next. Oh, not this again! She is going to attempt to take a swing at where she thinks Razor is.
Okay.
Probably. Yeah, she's just punching at the air. The fog cloud drifts over the place, and then you hear Umir, and he shouts a word in Dwarven, and the fog cloud disappears.
I actually speak Dwarven. What did he say?
Yeah, basically, the word is dispel. Okay. Yeah, Dwarven. I figure Dwarven is pretty direct.
Yeah.
Given that Rick named the Dwarflands, which I assume is the Dwarflands in Dwarven.
Correct.
Yes. And then
it probably has 13 consonants and 2 vowels, but you know.
And he has now pushed himself into the middle of this altercation. As the fog cloud dissipates, his guards move around and surround this whole group with their axes out, just kind of standing there. you feel the Zone of Truth disappear as it broke the spell. And a lot of things were going on, and I feel like he didn't want to keep his concentration up on this while talking seemed to stop and fighting seemed to start. So we get back up top of the order. Justinius runs over to Loretta as she is released from Voltus's grasp and gets down on the ground, like at eye level, and just grabs her and, "I will not allow any more harm to befall you, my love. I cannot watch this anymore. This is insanity." And Loretta looks dumbfounded and kind of shocked. And then Razor. Yeah, it's, everything's still confusing.
All right. So, Leggett, what's next?
Well, I'm just going to go through rounds here and see what happens. So we're going to go, Kiernan, you are next.
I'm going to keep my eye on Loretta and Justinius there just to make sure nothing strange is occurring. He doesn't do anything more bizarre than he's doing.
Something strange is occurring, but it's strange in the greatest way.
But I'll take just a little step back to give them a little space.
Grenna will dispel the spiritual weapon now that her target's been knocked out. Zika.
I guess I'm going to hold my action.
All right.
And see if the fighting continues or if it stops.
Okay, so it is now Sabina's ballgame, and I am going to check and see if she is able to compose herself. Because her ability to save face is now at a critical mass. Oh, no.
All right, well, this will be fun then.
This is a natural one.
Oh, no.
Oh, let me think here. Let me think here. This is going to take me a good think.
Let me ask you this. Does it look like she's about to do something offensive?
Yes, it looks like she is about to do something offensive as she is deciding who she wants to attack.
Then can I take my held action?
You can certainly do that.
I'm going to cast, I'm assuming she's wearing metal armor.
She is wearing metal armor.
Oh, God.
I'm going to heat metal her armor.
Okay, now before you come into this action, Kevin, I'm just going to tell you, is this your final answer? Remember what happened the last time you did this?
And just so you know, that's not going to actually help her with her composure.
No, it's not. It could very well burn her to death.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll do it on a weapon instead.
She is now holding a short sword?
Yeah, I'll do it on the short sword.
Okay.
So she still takes damage from it, but she'll at least have the opportunity to drop it and not just, you know, have to take it off, whatever.
Okay.
So.
So roll your damage.
That is 2d8 is 9 points of damage.
Okay.
Starts glowing red hot in her hand and has to make a constitution saving throw or drop it.
All right. She makes the constitution saving throw. She takes the damage. Does it continue or is it just... Okay.
It hangs around
see,
for a little
we'll
bit.
See if
I'm
going
to double check.
Yeah, I'm going to see if that... Okay.
Concentration.
If it doesn't drop the object, it has disadvantage on the attack rolls and ability checks until the start of your next turn.
Yeah.
Okay. She's going to attempt to swing at Razor. So she will roll with disadvantage. That is a 9. So maybe that will miss.
That will miss.
And she is enraged. And it's Umir. And she's going to attempt to disarm her. So yeah, after Sabina attempts to stab Razor with the burning hot short sword, Umir steps forward and just pushes it out of her hand and then and basically standing between Razor and Sabina and just goes, "Enough! Enough of all of this!" And the Dwarven guards surround Sabina and they grab her. And she's struggling, but there's no way. There's 6 Dwarven guards, and they're holding this one person who's losing their fucking mind. And her only defenders, one is unconscious, and the other one is desperately clinging to a halfling and seems to have given up all loyalty to his legate. And then everything kind of gets quiet. Well, quiet. Quiet's not really the best word for it, but the action stops. Sabina, what are those soldiers here for? They're here to bring this city to heal. We have watched for decades as this bizarre place that you call home becomes muddied with all sorts of strange, unclean, and unholy beings. And your city where they all mingle with each other hand in hand and work their disgusting magics on each other and mingle their aberrant cultures together. I am a child of the Emperor, and he has commanded us to go forth and bring this world to light, to bring order and justice. And your city has been found lacking in both of those things.
Umir then steps forward and interrupts her.
And this halfling here? You told me that you released her. You lied. You took advantage of our relationship. And as the word relationship, she just spits at the ground. I did what I have to do for my emperor, no matter how disgusting. And at that statement, Umir looks around.
Your Eminence, I believe there are cells downstairs that could be used again.
You're right. That's a very, very good and apt suggestion, Brother Flaskmaster. And you get the impression that he was about to punch her in the face, and he was going to basically turn around and say, I'm sorry, I'm going to punch this woman in the face. But that's a better idea than what he had. Yes, we will take her to the cells and show her dwarven justice. And he looks at Sabina. You're my guest. You can even pick your cell. And she looks over at Justinius. It appears that I have been bested. So I will submit to imprisonment, but it won't be long. If I do not give orders to my army, you do not receive regular contact from me or my people, their orders are to march on the city. We'll deal with that. It appears our friend Brother Flaskmaster has made some very powerful friends in local government. Perhaps he can use his influence to assist us against you. And now this is what you're seeing live and as it happens. You see the wheels spinning in Umir's head of how he can yet still pull this all to his advantage.
Of course.
Politician through and through.
And Grenna looks over to where you're standing, Zika, as she was the only one who saw you. Lucky for you. Yeah. And Kiernan, now might be a good time. Well, there are two things. You could leave, or Razor's entourage could arrive in the nick of time to assist in this manner.
I think that's probably the best idea.
You better do it now before their attention draws back to you. I can keep secrets. But you know, she looks over to Razor. He still doesn't know, does he?
I'll tell him. It's probably time.
You know what? It's none of my business, but if you are what I think you are, you need as many friends as possible.
I've survived this long without them, but perhaps you're right.
How do you know?
I'm smart. And I have access to lots of books.
And Razor is not smart.
Well, you know.
That was the implication, I think.
Yeah, well. It's also like changelings are kind of like pseudo-myth, you know. The more and more, as the world gets bigger and more, more knowledgeable, myths start to disappear when they become real. I have a particular fascination with that place you come from, but we can talk about that another time.
Of course.
And as you're getting ready to go to the cells, she steps forward. Brother Flaskmaster, appears your entourage has arrived, as we agreed.
Excellent.
Afternoon.
Hope you're well.
Yes, it appears everything is well in hand now.
Were things out of hand?
No, never quite. Never quite.
Well, it got a little bit animated, and it points over to Sabina being taken into custody. It's like, I think things have somewhat worked themselves out.
Is that who I think it is? Anyway.
And Razor looks like he's about to say something, and then in a rare moment of intelligence or wisdom, chooses not to.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we can catch each other up in a moment. I think things are about to get really interesting.
We've got some things to do over in our pub, the drapes. We're changing out the drapes. Got some decisions to make.
Well, before you go, Umir kind of looks over in your direction and says, well, the rest of your entourage is here.
Yes, it is still kind of small. I was wondering if I could add one more. I have heard of the skills of a certain goblin that appears to have performed quite skillfully with weaponry, and I wish to add him to my entourage if it would meet with your permission, Your Eminence.
Oh, well, your judgment so far has been impeccable, Brother Ordrum. I think perhaps your entourage could do with a little bit of the fame of Grelb the Gargantuan. I take in a pit fight every now and then.
It's good to hear that you do not take on airs, Your Eminence.
Watch it, Razor.
My apologies.
Yes, let's retrieve your friend. Perhaps he might be done sleeping off his little knock to the head. Besides, Grell the Gargantuan has known no defeat. If we keep his little secret, perhaps he can do us a favor down the road.
Perhaps.
So, as day moves on, move through the temple. Sabina is in the custody of the guard, and Justinius is kind of holding Loretta up and keeping her safe, but he's not exactly sure what his position is in this whole thing. He feels like running away is probably a bad idea. He is sticking close to Loretta as you guys make your way through the temple and down to the dungeons. And as you move through, Umir kind of slips back to this group, and I can't deny that you have been at the center of everything that's gone on here in these past couple of turbulent weeks. When she told me that I must take you under my wing, I didn't know what to think, but when the great smith speaks, you need to listen, I suppose.
Yes, we're all to be forged by our destiny into a weapon of some great import. What it is not always obvious.
And at this point, you realize it's for the great smith to get involved in that level of minutiae of the church is an unusual thing.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, the wheels seem to be spinning as how he can turn this to his favor. But for now, you're not at each other's throats and things seem to be relatively okay. And then Grenna hearing the thing about the great smith, she just kind of looks at you like,
I'll just kind of shrug.
And you get to the big stone door that you know leads down to the dungeons, and it is kind of left ajar. Umir goes up to there. So, things your ship has loosened up a little bit, Sabina. Left the door open. I did no such thing. And then you hear sounds coming from down in the dungeon. Familiar shuffling and moaning noises and the clatter of armor. And as the door is opened, you look down into the dungeon and you see the line of cells, and you see the unconscious body of Grelb the Gargantuan locked in one of the cells, just on a mat on the floor. And you see two guards just kind of grabbing at the bars and trying to like pull them apart. And as the light hits from the outside door, the two guards turn to look up at you. It is then that you notice the deathly pallor, sunken eyes, and weeping yellow wounds of the infected. And that's where we will cut for this week. We will see you in 2 weeks to find out what happens next.
Alrighty.
You can follow Architects of Entropy on Facebook. You can also email us at entropypod@gmail.com. That's entropypod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.